First Thessalonians, for example, and Second Thessalonians, or any of the epistles, they always talked about the Lord's soon return. Although, when they asked the Lord one time concerning his coming, because the disciples were still appreciating the beautiful temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they came to the Lord and says, "Look how beautiful the temple was." Well, we always appreciate the outward things, right? So the disciples were not an exception. The Lord says, "Look at it carefully. Soon, not one stone will be on top of another. Everything will be torn down. Everything will be torn down." And they were very surprised. So they asked the Lord, "When is that going to happen?" So the Lord told them when that was going to happen. But then they asked another question: "When are you coming soon? When are you coming? When is the time of your coming?" What did the Lord tell them? John Yahoo, what did the Lord say? What was his answer? "Oh, I'm coming soon." Did he say that? What did he say? "Nobody knows except my Father in heaven. Nobody knows." You know, this is the wisdom of the Lord not to tell them when he is coming. Can you imagine if the Lord said, "Oh, 2,000 years later"? What would you feel, Charlie, if the Lord tells you 2,000 years later? What would you say? The reaction would be, "Oh, okay, forget it." If that was the case, you will not read anything about the Lord's second coming in the New Testament. Well, why talk about it? He's not going to come back 2,000 years later. If I ask you, Karina, when are you coming to visit us in the States? "Oh, 20 years later." 20 years later. Forget it. I'm not going to ask you again. I'm not going to talk about it. But if you say, "Well, next month," then Mary will be preparing for your coming, right? So the Lord's wisdom is wonderful. He says, "Nobody knows except my Father in heaven." That was a very wise answer. So the disciples were all waiting for his coming. Even after the Lord rose again from the dead, the first question is, "And when are you going to establish your kingdom here? The kingdom of Israel, when are you going to establish that?" Because they thought, "Well, you're the Messiah, you're the king. Well, you should be establishing your kingdom ASAP, as soon as possible." But the Lord didn't say that, when he's going to do that. But the Lord spoke with them about the kingdom for 40 days. So that shows that a kingdom is very important. But when it is going to come, the Lord did not tell them. Why? Because the Lord still has to spread his gospel all over the world. Then the end shall come. That's what the Lord told them. This gospel of the kingdom will be shared and spread and preached to the end of the world. Then the end shall come. Now you tell me today, which country has never heard the gospel of God? The whole world. Even the Bible is translated into so many different languages, even in Messiah, right? 전체 비싸이라고 하고 is quite accurate. So now is the time for the Lord to come back. Now is the time. But you can see in the whole Bible, the disciples mention the Lord's second coming all the time and every time. And they themselves were expecting the Lord to come during their time. Let's see what John says. Let's go to John, right? We have here in the outline also. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, right? There you are in verse 18. He said what? Would you like to read it, Charlie? I'll save my voice, okay? This is the last hour. Not even day, but hour. This is the last hour. That means they are expecting the Lord to come anytime. The last hour means very near. The last hour. Do you believe that? You should. Because you don't have 2,000 years to live, do you? The Lord may be coming 2,000 years later during that time, but are you going to live 2,000 years? Nobody knows how long you're going to live on this earth. And who knows? Anyone can leave tomorrow. I just mentioned to you one of our dear friends just passed away 3 days ago. Nobody expected that. Even his own did not expect that. But he's gone. So, whether the Lord is coming 2,000 years later doesn't matter to you. You have to be ready anytime to meet the Lord. That's why many times I like to quote Amos chapter 4, verse 12. I think, prepare to meet your God. Well, he may not come, but you may go. And so don't say, oh, the Lord is not going to come in my time, so I can take it easy. Well, what about if you go? Are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared to meet your God? And when the Lord said that in Amos chapter 4, he was warning them that they should repent from what they're doing in order to prepare to meet your God. But today, we Christians are very loose. We're very loose. We do whatever we want to do, right? It's like in your hometown. There's so many Christians, but they didn't care because they were taught wrongly that as long as you're saved, no problem, you go to heaven. Have you ever heard that? No? No problem, you're already saved. So, anytime the Lord comes, you're okay. But that's not what the Bible says. You have to be ready. You have to be prepared anytime. Redeem the time. Don't say, well, I'm still young, I still have time. Right, Yona? John, you don't have much time left, but I still have many years. Well, who knows? Nobody knows. So you should be ready and prepared to live in such a way that the Lord will appear your time. But not only that, I know quite a few biographies of Christians who really love the Lord. Their attitude is waiting for the Lord to come. It's part of our faith, part of our Christian life. But even if he delays, but the Lord is living in you. Spiritually speaking, he's already living in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Why don't you listen to him in your daily life? Fellowship with him. Do everything with him. Then you'll be ready. What is the difference? Of course, there is a difference. But he is already there and he's coming again. Tell me, what is the difference? Is there a difference for you? Or no difference? Benson, is there a difference? Calvin, there is a difference, right? Oh, what is the difference? The only difference is when he comes, you can see him. But his dwelling in you, you cannot see him, but you can feel him. He speaks to you, the anointing in you. So if you don't care about the anointing in dwelling in you, the Lord telling you, speaking to you, telling you what not to do, and what to do, and what pleases him, what doesn't please him, then if you don't care for the living Christ within you, you're not living this wonderful Christ in you, then why are you waiting for him to come back? The only difference is that you can see him, and you can see the outward glory. You remember the Lord was transfigured in a Mount of Transfiguration, right? With Peter, James, and John. He appeared in glory. He was transfigured. His face was shining like the sun. And that was a foretaste of his appearing in glory in the kingdom of his Father. In Matthew chapter 17. Well, I wish I could see that. Right? That is definitely a wonderful sight. And Peter was so taken away, right? Of course, that was wonderful. This is why Peter wrote in his epistle, the first Peter, I'm sorry, second Peter, right? He says, we are not telling you just some fable, fairy tale. No, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, of the coming of the king and the glory of his kingdom. They saw him. They saw it. We are going to see it too, right? I really like that part. Because before they went up to the mountain, the Lord told them, verily I say unto you, some of you standing here will not taste death, right, unless you see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his kingdom. You know, that was a promise. Today, you have the possibility not to taste death, but to be raptured alive, to stand with the Lamb of God on Mount Zion there before the throne of God. Isn't that wonderful? Is that your hope? No? This should be our hope of glory. The Lord is coming soon. But if you are not raptured at that time, sorry, you have to meet the beast. You either meet the Lord or you meet the beast. So who do you want to meet? Face to face with the Lord of glory or face to face with that beast? And again, you have another choice. I'm giving you a lot of choices. But you have to make your choice. If you're not ready, and you don't care, and just believe the lies that says, oh, you're a Christian, no problem, you'll be taken up, then you're not worried. And you can do anything you like today. Or, now that you know, you need to be prepared, and if not, you're going to meet that terrible beast. John called him also the Antichrist. But in the book of Revelation, he's the beast. The beast. So who do you want to meet? Anyone who wants to meet the beast? How about you? Of course not, right? Nobody wants to meet the beast. And if that is really the case and your choice, you want to be up there, then you have to be prepared. You need to love the Lord and learn to know Him and experience Him every day. This is why we are practicing the priesthood, because the priesthood is encouraging you to experience Christ every day, day by day, in your daily living, whatever you're doing. Not just if you're serving God, well, in everything you do it with the Lord and unto the Lord. Even if you're doing a job, Paul says, you're not doing it to your boss, you're doing your job to please God. Then you will really do a good job at your work, because you're not doing it to man as a man's service, but you are doing it with the Lord to please God. So whatever you do, you can experience Christ, and then you bring the best of your experience and offer it to the Father. This is why the priesthood is important, to help you. On one hand, the priesthood, it's like we said, food to satisfy the Father. But on the other hand, it is really God's wisdom to ask that of you. Otherwise, you will not prepare the food every week and offer it to the Father. So it is the Father's love and wisdom asking you to bring me my food, he said. So it's for your gain to help you. So we do need to prepare for the Lord's coming. It is necessary. Don't think it is not necessary. So John says, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, the beast is coming. That beast is really terrible. Have you ever read Revelation chapter 13? No? You want to read it? I will introduce to you the beast so that when he comes, you will know him. But it's better to know him now in the book of Revelation. Let me go there with you, Revelation chapter 13. Yeah. The New King James Version in verse 1 had a wrong translation. It is not then I stood as if it was referring to John the apostle. It should be and he referring to the dragon in Revelation chapter 12 at the very end. So the dragon stood on the sand of the sea because the abyss is right there in the depths of the sea. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 10 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on blasphemous calling them gods, right? Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Wow, this is the beast. And this description of the beast is just like the description in the book of Daniel concerning the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire. And the Roman Empire was so terrible that there was no name for the beast. But here you can see the combination of all these beasts. That means it must really be terrible. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. You know, this is a mysterious writing. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Yeah, the whole world will follow the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, which is Satan himself. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Wow, powerful. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Well, how long is 42 months? 3.5 years, 1,260 days, a time, two times, and half a time. This is how the book of Revelation described it, so that you are sure it is really 3.5 years. He even gives you the time, the days, 1,260 days, to make sure that you understand. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacles, and those who dwell in heaven. Okay, so you hopefully will be, and we'll, all of us, hopefully we'll be in heaven in those days when it happened. But then, remember, here in verse 7, and this is terrible, it was granted to him to make war with the saints. Goodness, who are these saints? And even to overcome them. Who are these ones? To make war with the saints. Can he make war with the saints if you are there, up there before the throne of God? Yeah? If you're up there, you think the devil will fly up there to make war with you? No, he was cast down to the earth. He can't even jump higher than you. How high can you jump? And he was cast down to the earth, subject to gravity, just like you. So, who are these saints that he could make war with? Those who remained on this earth, who were not raptured, who were not taken up to stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion. So it depends on where you want to be when the time comes. Marcus, where do you want to be? You sure? You want to be up there? How are you going to get up there? With Lufthansa? Lufthansa can't take you up there. No. You have to be prepared. Let this life grow within you, and you have to be matured and even be the first fruits. Then you'll be taken up. If not, you will be remaining here, and the beast will make war with the saints and to overcome. You have to realize there are so many Christians today that are alive. There must be about 2 billion Christians on this earth today. It's quite a number. And only 144,000 went up there. You can see, right? It's quite a strong army. And they make war. The beasts make war with them. Don't think the Christians will not also take up arms and defend themselves, because you have so many of them. But you cannot overcome the beast. Authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in a book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wonderful. When was the Lamb slain? When did Christ die? You will say 2,000 years ago, but Revelation says at the foundation and from the foundation of the world. So you can really see this terrible beast. You know where you can see this terrible beast today, unless they put it away already? John, where can you see that beast? Wow. No, you don't believe that, right? Kimson, have you ever seen that beast? No? Go to John after the meeting. John will show all of you. You cannot believe that the United Nations, somebody made a beast that is just like this one mentioned here. And they put it in front of the park of the garden, right? So that everybody can see when you go to the United Nations. Will you put that in your garden? Put that in front of your building, the beast. United Nations, that will show you that that organization is devilish. They are not for the United Nations, they are divided nations. John, do you have that photo? Oh, can you enlarge it? Oh, yeah, bring it to me, please. I'm going to show you this beautiful beast. In front of the United Nations. It's supposed to be for peace, right? Does that beast look like it's for peace? Yes. Here, I'm going to give you a chance to see it in a close view here. Don't have a nightmare tonight, okay? Beautiful, right? No? How about you? Take a look. Huh? Can you see that from afar? Do you need a, I'll bring it to you. It's part of the show tonight.
Does it have 7 heads? It says here 7 head.
No, but that's it. One head is enough. You like it? Who's that in front of your building? How about that? Now you know what the United Nations is doing. Close view, GG. About that? You like to put a picture in your room? It's terrible. Oh, you like to take a close view here. That's the United Nations. You think they're talking about peace there, right? Have you seen it, Alec? Good. Here you are. Hope you won't have a nightmare tonight. Thank you, John. They are preparing for the coming of the beast. You better believe that. Who with the right mind would put such a terrible, evil beast right there in front? So, what are they doing there? What are they doing there? Of course, the real one, when it comes, will be worse. Right. And it's going to come out of the abyss. Now, let me show you Revelation chapter 17, okay? Just mention it to you. What does these seven heads really mean, okay? Right. Now, let me go to Revelation chapter 17. Come on. Okay, Revelation chapter 17. Here, the Lord showed John the apostle. Because John was definitely marveling at that, saying, "What is that?" He was amazed. Because John said, when I saw her and the beast, I marveled with great amazement. Then one of the angels says, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her." Right? That was in verse 7. Now, let us go to verse 8. The beast that you saw was, that means he already existed. And is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and then go to perdition. Right? This is the beast. And it's the same written as in chapter 13. And all those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in a book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was. And is not, and yet to come, and yet is, meaning to say the beast already existed. A lot of people say, "Oh, who is the Antichrist and who is the beast?" And they're looking for him, but he already existed. He was. And what it, verse 9 says, here is the mind which has wisdom. So we need the wisdom from above. Otherwise, you will not understand. Okay? So tonight, I'll just mention it a little bit because Brother Kimson was also asking, right? What is that? What is that? Okay, I'll let you know a little bit, right? It's good for us to know because it's written in the book of Revelation. Now, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman is. That means it is the city of Rome. because Rome is also called the city of the seven mountains. So everybody knows, okay, this is Rome, right? And that woman is definitely Vatican, okay? And there are also seven kings, and these are the seven heads. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. The seventh has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue only a short time. How short is a short time? Huh? How short is a term today to be a president? That's not very long. Is that 40 years? No. A king, right? To be a king. So, five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come at that time. The one that is was the one when John was writing a book of Revelation. That king is not the beast. Because the beast was, that means the beast was one of the five. Who are these five? It says fallen. It means died in a very bad way. If somebody died, you don't say he's fallen. Unless he fell from the 10th floor, then he's fallen. But that means he died in a very terrible way. Either murdered, poisoned, at least in a very terrible way. Of course, during the time of John, there are not only five emperors before him, right? Five Caesars before him, not emperors. What are these five that fell in a very terrible way? Number one, Julius Caesar. He was murdered by Mark Antony. Remember? You know Mark Antony? Friends, Roman and countrymen, lend me your ears. You know that famous speech, right? I think you all learned that in school. So he was the first. And then Tiberius is the second one. Also died in a terrible way. The third one is who? Caligula and Claudius, I think. And the fourth is Caligula. And the fifth one is Nero. These five were fallen. And the sixth one is the one during the time of John. His name is Domitian. Or Domitian, whatever. Doesn't matter how you spell it. And the seventh is not yet here at that time. But perhaps he's already here. Who knows? If the time is very close, the seventh may already be here. Now, so how do you know which one is among the five? In chapter 13, he says, the name of the beast has a number. It's number 666. So you just have to find out among the five names, which name has a 666? Make the long story short, it is Caesar Nero. And in history, he's one of the worst maybe, the terrible one. And even during the time of Nero, he believed that he's going to be resurrected. So after he died, a lot of people were waiting that he will rise up from the dead. But of course, he didn't. But he's going to come again. Because it's written, the beast who was and is not will come again. Really amazing. Right. So What are you going to do? Then it says in verse 11, the beast that was, it keeps on repeating, right? Was, is, was, is not, and yet come again. Was, is not, and come again. Why does the Lord repeat it all the time so that you remember it? He already was. So you don't have to guess who is he. But you have to know who is the seventh king, because the seventh king is important. There are also seven kings, right? Okay. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. Now, come on, how many kings are there? How many heads? Eight heads, Frank? Only seven. How come there's an eighth all of a sudden? Jesse, what do you think? How can it be the eighth when there's only seven? Oh, it's a mystery, isn't it? Yeah. So, yep, the beast that was and is not at the time of John the Baptist is himself also the eighth and is of the seven. Goodness. How is that? It's a puzzle. It's good so that people don't understand and know. Obviously, God didn't want to make it so obvious. Otherwise, nobody wants to be the seventh king anymore. But it's going to happen the way it is written. Right. So let me go back again a little bit, because they're concerning this beast. Yeah, oops, I'm sorry. No. The beast, verse 8, that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now you know why in Revelation chapter 13, the beast came out of the bottomless pit, out of the abyss. So he's waiting there to be released when the time comes. Soon he will come out and then go to perdition. At the end of the 3.5 years, the beast will be thrown into the lake of fire. Yeah, Lord Jesus. So what are we going to do? And then we continue to read. And the 10 horns, verse 12, you saw now the 10 kings who have not received, or who have received no kingdom as yet at that time. But now they certainly are existing. So the 10 horns, they receive authority for 1 hour, a very short time, as kings with the beast. And these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And then at the end, these will make war with the Lamb, because the Lamb is going to come down at Armageddon, right? In Revelation 16 or 19, and the Lamb will overcome them. For the Lamb, he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who follow him, who are with him, are called, chosen, and faithful. So you want to be in that army, you should not only be called, but you should be also chosen. And not only chosen, you should be faithful. What did the Lord says? A few are called. Huh? Many are called, but few are chosen. And even less are faithful. The Lord didn't need a huge army to win the battle. So you want to be in the army today? Calvin, are you drafted? Are you called? Did the Lord call you? Calvin, come join the army. Did you hear his call? Okay, then are you chosen too? And even if you are chosen, are you faithful to the end? Or you will go AWOL, run away. When problem comes, you quit. So this is the situation. When the seventh king comes, it says in chapter 13, one of the heads will have a what? Whose head will be wounded, deadly wound. That means there will be a deadly wound in the head. But then what happened to the deadly wound? He will rise up again, he will be healed. How can he be healed? So when is shot at a deadly wound, at the same time, the abyss will be open and that terrible guy will come out and enter into his corpse. And then he will rise up again, but no longer the seventh king. That's why he's called the eighth. It's going to be a horrible scene. It's Hollywood altogether. That's why he's on the seventh. But yet he is not the seventh, because he was the fifth. And now the seventh is the corpse who died, and when he came in, he was the combination of the person in one of the five, and enter into the corpse of the seventh, and he becomes the eighth. Okay, mystery solved. Mystery solved. And this is going to be happening. And if you take a look at the world situation today, it will happen exactly as the Word of God says. Right? This is important, because the time has come, so you better know a little bit about it, so that you will not be surprised when it happens. But John already said long time ago, 2,000 years ago, he says the hour is near. So obviously that word from the Apostle John applies to us today. It's very up to date today, the last hour. How much time do you have left? You tell me. You tell me. So may the Lord open our eyes. When we sang the song, "My King will soon appear," it really is going to happen. Sorry, can you hear? Yeah. So what are you going to do, Karina? And that's why he joined every conference in Zoom. Even though there's a time change, right? So, wow, she didn't want to go to bed if she was joining the conference in Zoom. Pay the price, right? So we all need to wake up. I'm saying this not as a doctrine. I'm not interpreting the book of Revelation. But by the Lord's mercy, he has shown us things we need to know today to prepare. Not just, oh, praise the Lord, we know what it means. Forget about what it means. But to warn us that these things are very feasible today. It can happen anytime. It can happen anytime. I don't want to say it too clearly and obviously. It's not good. We might get into trouble, right? So, since we know what's going to happen, you have to prepare. You do have to prepare. And this is why we are reading 1 John concerning life, and only this life. And by having this life growing in us, through the practice of the priesthood, so that you will enter into a close relationship and fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and constantly living according to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing within you, who will teach you all things and will not lie to you. The preachers, any preachers, they may not purposely lie to you, but they don't know the truth. What are they going to do? They insist that everyone will go to heaven. Well, I don't know if they purposely lie to you or not. Maybe they themselves didn't know. But ignorant of the truth is not an excuse. If you don't know, then search, ask the Lord. The Lord will tell you. So the Lord has shown this to all of us because they want you. He wants you to prepare, to be ready, and to know how to prepare. So even John says you don't need any teacher to teach you. Nobody wants to say that, otherwise they'll be out of job. Or the pastor will lose their job. He says, you don't need me, you just need the anointing, right? Nobody's going to tell you that. But really, you all need to learn to listen to the inner anointing. And the inner anointing will always correspond to the word that you read. Whatever you read, mingle with faith, it will become a reality in your spirit and in your being through the anointing that will then lead you into all truth. And he will tell you of things to come. Now he's telling us of things to come. Even show you a picture of how this beast might look like. So be ready, right? The Lord is not trying to scare us, but because he loves us, he tells you the truth. And here in the Epistle of John, remember the two words, light and love. Light and love, and then the anointing of you, the Spirit. Because twice at least, apart from chapter 2 of 1 John, it says, how do we know then about this and about that? Through the Spirit that God has given you. You will know. Too bad, ever since you received the Lord, you're born again, nobody told you that you have a spirit and it's going to teach you all things, right? But the Lord did say that already in John 14. So whatever 1 John mentioned is not new, but he wants you to experience it. What is the use of knowing it and you're not experiencing it? Right, let's go to John. How about that? It's always good to come back to the Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Oops, where is it now? Verse 24. Let's read verse beginning in 23, because it's very similar to First John. Of course, John wrote it too. Right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Right? Verse 23. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or make our abode with him. Right? He will come and dwell in us, even the Father with him. We will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words. He didn't say, does not read my word. He didn't say, does not know my word. He said, does not keep my word, my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he is the Helper to help you. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. All things. And he will lead you into all truth. Now let's go on to 15, or 16. Let's go on to chapter 16. No. Come on. Oops. John 16. Ah. Okay. John 16. Yeah, Lord. It says here in John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come. It's the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit, right? Poured out. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So when you preach the gospel, don't just preach the gospel. You should believe that the Holy Spirit should be working together with you to convict them of sin. So he says here, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? Which pastor will guide you into all truth? It's the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know and you don't care about the Holy Spirit, then how can he guide you? So from now on, pray, Lord, you said the Holy Spirit is going to teach me all things, and I want to experience that. All things means all things. I guarantee you, he will teach you all things. My granddaughter asked me, what is your burden for tonight? I told him, I don't know, because I don't know. Then how do I know what to say tonight? The Holy Spirit will teach me to say what I need to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Not just biblical things, but all things, whatever you need to do, whatever advice you need. The Holy Spirit, he knows all things. So when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority. And so many people spoke with their own authority. Right? So are you going to listen to them? Pancho, if somebody spoke by his own authority, and no, you don't have to listen. But the Holy Spirit will not even speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He's a speaking spirit. So how come a lot of people told me and asked me, it's so hard to hear the Spirit speaking? How can it be hard when that's his job? And he's not doing his job if he's not speaking to you. He's going to lose his job if he doesn't speak to you. Right? You believe that word? Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you even things to come. How about that? Don't you like to know things to come? Well, who can tell things to come? He will tell you things to come. Don't listen to the fake news. The fake news, they don't know what is going to come. It's fake news. CNN will not tell you any things to come. Even the things that already happened, they will not tell you because they lied to you. But the Holy Spirit will not lie to you. He will tell you exactly what is going to happen. He will declare it to you, right? He will glorify me, praise the Lord. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So wonderful. And all things that a Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, the Lord, it was the Lord speaking, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. How come you don't care about the Holy Spirit indwelling in you? You care for other people outside to speak and speak. But the Holy Spirit is the only speaker that we need. If you all listen to the Holy Spirit, we don't need a conference anymore. I'll be very happy. No more traveling. My wife, my children says, you travel too much. No more traveling. But the only way for this to happen is if each one of you and all of us and all the churches will learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Brother, forget what other people say. And don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. It's useless. We just follow what the Holy Spirit says, what the anointing teach you. You just do it. Who cares what other people say? They will never agree with you. Even when Jesus was on this earth, none of them agreed with him. Right. So don't be surprised that many will not agree with you. That's normal. If they agree, then something is wrong with you. So you should be happy and joyful that they don't agree with you. But don't argue with them and don't fight with them. You just do and obey what the Lord, through the Holy Anointing, tells you to do. And that is the way to prepare yourself. That's the secret. That is why the other day we read the New Covenant says, and no one needs the other teaching, no God. Because everyone will know God, from the youngest to the oldest. How? Who is going to teach you? Young sister, how old are you? 12. Wow. You understand this word? Good. You see, even at 12 years old, understood. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in you, speaking and telling you what to do. Learn to obey. If he says, don't do it, just stop. Don't do it. Very simple. This is the way to prepare for the Lord's coming. And if you go home, read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You'll be surprised. The letter, the epistle to the church in Thessalonica is a church, is an epistle written to a very young church. Thessalonica is the youngest church that was raised up by Paul at that time. In every chapter, Paul mentioned concerning the coming of the Lord. And most of all, maybe we can, oh, it's 9 o'clock again. The clock doesn't stop. Let's just turn to 2 Thessalonians and just read a couple of verses because it clearly gives us some signs concerning the second coming of the Lord. Chapter 2, Thessalonians chapter 2, okay? And then we can close the meeting and you can all go to rest. We have a long day today, not many of you. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And some even believe, oh, he already came. But that was his first coming. Right. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. So that's why everybody knows that the temple in Jerusalem is going to be rebuilt. They call it the third temple, because the first one built by Solomon was destroyed and rebuilt, and the second one rebuilt by Joshua and Zerubbabel. And it was destroyed again, the second time by Titus, the Roman prince. And not only the temple was destroyed, the whole nation was gone. And so now they're going to build so-called the third temple. And they are very adamant about it. They want to do it by any means. They didn't care about the Palestinians anymore. So you have to realize this. But that rebuild of the temple is not for God, because God is not going to dwell in that temple, but it is for the sign. And who is going to sit there? This guy is going to sit there and declare himself to be God. And exactly what Revelation chapter 13 says, showing himself that he's God, although he's not. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Well, I hope you remember it, okay? And now you know what is restraining. Ah, that means something is holding them back. It's good. If there is no restraint, if God did not put a restraint there, it would have happened a long time ago. They would have come and destroyed the world. But it is not for them to decide the appointed time. Only the Father in heaven decides the appointed time. It's good, nobody else knows. Right? So, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time determined by God. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only who now, he who now restrains will do so. It shouldn't be he capitalized here, it is wrong. Right? And will do so until he is taken out of the way. Nobody can take God out of the way, right? So it cannot be capitalized here, it is absolutely wrong. It means the restraint will be taken away until it is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroyed him with the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonder. So you can really see this. Yeah, read it carefully, read it slowly. Yeah, what else can we say? Amen, Lord. So just wait and see. Just wait and see. And I'm looking for that verse that says, right, when they say peace and security, then the sudden destruction will appear. Verse what? Oh, it's in 1 Thessalonians. Okay. Read it to us. Sorry? Read it to us, please. Yeah.
For when they say he and Satan, then
verse 3, right? Verse 3. Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians
5:3. Yeah.
For when they say he and Satan, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon pregnant, they shall not escape.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so don't be in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Praise the Lord. So today it is really lawless everywhere, especially in the States. You can see that. So what is happening in two countries are very important. One in the US, and two, it is in Israel. Everything depends on what is happening in these two countries. The other nations are not important. Right. So the end of democracy, you can see where it's going to happen. And then the building of the temple and the red heifer. And all this, what's happening in the Middle East, it is also very important. Just watch out for these two countries. And then you'll be clear when it's going to happen and what is going to happen. Okay? So, praise the Lord. Sweet dreams tonight. No nightmares, okay? After seeing that beast, no nightmare. Okay? Good. Amen.